Jesus once said that among those born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. And that was high praise for the one who was the forerunner of the Lord, the one who was the voice crying in the wilderness. But it seems that some of John's disciples took it a bit too far. They made it into something else entirely. Because we're told in our gospel reading for today that a discussion arose between the disciples of John and a Jew over purification. But discussion is such a calm word. We have a discussion about what things mean. We have a discussion about what we're going to do. But this is not just a discussion. You might call it a debate or even a controversy. I'm not suggesting that they were roaring and screaming at each other, getting into a fist fight over what they were disagreeing about. But it's clear from our reading that they were less interested in the truth and more interested in scoring points for their side. What they thought was right. There was no convincing them otherwise. It was their way or the highway. And we can see this especially because they felt a need to drag their master John into the debate. We're told in verse 26, they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." Now, there's really two things to note about what they've said here. First of all, note that they didn't really say all that much about purification. They might have mentioned it in passing when talking about baptism. But it just goes to show that they weren't asking John what he thought about the debate, nor were they asking for some kind of clarification. Rather, they were simply holding up their own side, and especially their master himself. They wanted to make sure that he was number one, especially over this unnamed Jew. But second of all, notice that they don't actually mention Jesus by name. They only talk about him indirectly. "The one that you were with across the Jordan," they say, "that guy over there, the one to whom you bore witness, you know the one that we're talking about. Why is he doing all of these things that you do?" I don't think that they meant this maliciously, as if they were saying "that guy over there." But rather, John, in their own minds, was so great that everyone else, including Jesus, was as nothing to them. They were the disciples of John. They followed him and believed everything that he said. And you had to follow John, or you were nothing at all. But their desire to hold up their side was seen especially in their jealousy. Because they could probably remember the good old days when great crowds had come to John. People from all over the countryside were coming to hear what he had to say. Those were the days. But ever since this Jesus came along, it seemed like the crowds had been getting smaller and smaller, even as the crowds that were going to Jesus were getting bigger and bigger. And it had gotten to the point that hardly anyone came to John now. Perhaps they were the only ones left. And on top of this, it seemed like everything that Jesus and his disciples were doing was just a copy of what John was doing. Jesus preached like John. Jesus said all the same things that John did. And his disciples were baptizing just like John. So why couldn't they just go somewhere else? Just butt out of what John was trying to do? It made them sad to see these things, because John was everything in their eyes. Now, it is true that we live in a highly polarized time. people do not really care about the truth. They mostly care about their own party above all else. We're not so much happy when we win as we're happy when they lose. But this partisan attitude is not just limited to politics. It also happens in the things of God. Take, for example, let's say we see a Christian brother who is being honored for something that they have done, or even that God has blessed them in some great way that he has not blessed us. How do I react? Do I rejoice with him, giving thanks for all that God has done for him? Or do I look at him sideways, wondering why no one remembers what I have done, and wondering why I am not blessed the same? Or let's say there's a church, a sister church, that's doing very, very well. A lot of people are coming, a lot of people attend, more and more are coming to the faith, even as our church doesn't see the same thing. How do I react? Do I rejoice with them that so many are coming to know the Lord? And do I rejoice with the angels over every lost sheep who has come back to the Father? Or do I turn away from them, muttering under my breath that it's all fake? They're not real Christians like me. Jealousy can so quickly become envy, especially when it is coupled with pride. And that leads us to become self-absorbed. It's my way or nothing at all. But this partisan attitude arises especially when we forget what is the most important thing. And that's why John is such a good example for us. Because John is like no one else in all the history of the world. John is the one who pointed to the coming of the Lord. John is the greatest among those who are born of women. John will be remembered for all time. John was a truly great man. But what does he say to his disciples? Verse 27. Person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. In other words, he was saying to them, yes, it's true. More people are going to Jesus now than they are to me. But that's not because I did something wrong or that Jesus somehow stole them from me. Rather, it's because what we have only because of God. Without him, we would have nothing at all. God gave the great crowds in days gone by, yes, but God has also given the small crowds now. That is his good and gracious will. This isn't about my legacy or about my popularity, especially because my time is quickly coming to an end. Because as he goes on to say in verse 29, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. Think about a wedding, John says to his disciples. Who is more important, the groom or the best man? Yes, the best man, the friend of the bridegroom, has an important job, especially in those days. It was his responsibility to make sure that everything was going smoothly. He played an important part in the wedding. He certainly had a very big role. But he was not the groom. The wedding day was finally not about him. And we would think it odd, even today, or wrong, If the best man tried to make it all about himself, if he wanted to draw all the attention upon himself on someone else's wedding day. Rather, when his part is done, the best man recedes into the background. And that is as it should be. It brings him joy not to have all eyes on himself, but to see the joy of his friend. John the Baptist is the best man, and Christ is the groom, because it's all about Jesus in the end. As John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's really ultimately the point. And that's what John shows us clearly today. In the end, it's not about us. It's not about our works. It's not about how much we have done. It's not about our legacy or how we're going to be remembered. We will be forgotten. And that's okay. Because it's all about Christ and Christ alone. He must increase, even as we must decrease. And when we remember that, when we see another Christian who is prospering or who is blessed in ways that we are not, that will not lead us into jealousy, but it will lead us to rejoice with him and to be thankful for what God has done for him. When we remember that it is all about Jesus, we will not feel snarky or vicious about seeing another church prosper, but rather give thanks to God that more and more are coming to know him. And when we remember that it's all about Jesus, we will not try to even hold ourselves up as something special, but we will point to Christ alone in everything, because he is our Savior. Let our aim be Christ in all things. Let his kingdom come and not ours. He must increase, but I must decrease, to the glory of his holy name. Let us pray. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.